Canada Chiefs have had an active land department since January of 1972. A large amount of work has been accomplished since that date. Today we would like to share with you some of the problems which we have identified, some of the statistics which we think will be of interest to you, and some of the selection programs that we have anticipated and the methods that we are using in communicating the Land Claims Act with our villages. It is estimated that our region and its villages will select and hold title to approximately 13 million acres of land. In addition, it is likely that one or both of the major Indian reservations within the region may be selected by their residents, and some form of resource management contracting with the region may be arranged for all or part of their lands. Thus, the eventual amount of lands to be selected and managed by the Tanana Chiefs region may exceed 14 million acres. One-third of this area must be selected by the village corporation during the next two calendar years. Selection of the remaining two-thirds must be completed by the region before an additional year has elapsed. By contrast, it is interesting to note that the state of Alaska took five calendar years after statehood to select 13.5 million acres, roughly the equivalent acreage which will be selected by our region in the next or two or three years. This contrast is even more meaningful when it is realized that the state of Alaska's selection program was accomplished with a monolithic organization, that is, a single staff carried out the policies established in a single head. In the selection program by the Tanana Chiefs and the villages, the policies and the administrative selection process will be determined and carried out by some 40 to 50 separate and autonomous organizations. In order to maximize selection benefits, a considerable amount of coordination between the two separate corporations is desirable. Another comparison with statistics of the State Division of Lands is also interesting. The last data available from the state, which was fiscal year 1971, shows the state has received working title from its selection program, which is patented in TA land, of 13.7 million acres. This, too, is roughly the equivalent to the acreage which will be selected and managed by the native corporations in the Tanana Chiefs region. The staff of the Division of Lands uses 109 people to manage their lands. From the beginning, our land staff, which consists of two professionals and one secretary, has been deeply involved in land planning activities. The bulk of the land selection decisions can be made only after the initial stockholders' meetings are held, and the officers of the village and regional corporations empowered with the full right to make decisions and select land. Since these stockholders' meetings cannot take place until the enrollment process is completed approximately 1 year from now, this diminishes the time frame for making these selections. Village corporations essentially will have only 1 year, 1974, to make all of their discretionary selections, and the regional corporations will have but one more year beyond that. Thus, it is apparent that if we are to fulfill our responsibilities within the tight time frame, careful planning and problem-solving is essential at this earliest possible date. Some of the many areas of planning which our land department is involved in will be outlined for you today. Some of our methods of training technicians and villages will be presented. There are a couple of problems which we think the Land Use Planning Commission can help solve, and these also will be mentioned. Our land department staff is presently about one-third through the initial stages of discussing with all the adults in each of our villages the forthcoming selection timetable for village selections. We have 30 more villages yet to go in this first phase. Our village land selection training manual at this point consists primarily of a narrative introduction to the Claims Act and the selection program. This is only in draft form, but a copy will be provided for the information of the commission, and this copy will be sent over to the Commission today. The general meetings of the villages usually last 3 or 4 hours and cover in simple detail the outline contained in this introduction to the training manual. Briefly, the subjects covered are as follows. The history and inheritance philosophy of the Claims Act. The estimate of the value of land which may likely be selected by the village corporation. The concept of ownership of land title being by corporations. The concept of land area, in which the length of the village airstrip is used as a measuring stick. The expected village selection timetable, and the typical land ownership pattern which may exist around a village after all selections are made. It is interesting to note that many questions and misconceptions exist in the minds of village residents who are confused between their 160-acre allotments, applications to which they will receive title as individuals, and the volume selections which will be selected and owned by native corporations. Simplified illustrations, charts, and diagrams are used by our land department to teach the correct concepts. Because of the great physical size of the Tanana Chiefs region, which embraces more than one-third of the entire state, we will shortly set up within the region 4 sub-regional offices in order to provide closer personal contact with the people in our villages. The community representative in charge of each of these offices will work very closely with the 10 or 11 villages located in each of the sub-regional areas in the land selection program. It is anticipated that the officers of each village corporation, with the help of the sub-regional community representative, will be able to perform the bulk of the village selection programs after thorough technical training. In this way, the regional land department will be relatively free to work on solving the non-routine problems which require higher technical skills and expertise. In 3 or 4 months from now, we expect to begin the intensive training seminars for land committees representing each village in our region. Inasmuch as the officers of the village corporations will not be elected by the stockholders for at least another year, it would be too late to wait until another year has gone by to commence this training. By taking these land committees, consisting from 3 to 5 persons from each village, and intensively training them in technical matters involving land descriptions and selections, they can work as technical arms of the future corporations. Thus, we hope that by training these people, each village will possess the necessary knowledge and skills to select land efficiently and wisely. The training is expected to be done on a sub-regional basis, with perhaps 3 persons from 10 or 11 villages assembling together for 3 days and a training seminar. 2 such seminars are presently scheduled for 1973, one in the late winter or early spring, and the other next fall or early winter. Technical training will be given on map reading, land title interpretations from master title plats and historical indexes, provisions of the land claims and selection regulations relating to village selections, legal land descriptions, and similar technical instruction. A possible class exercise under supervision is contemplated. This would involve the preparation of the selection application for the central township which surrounds each village. We feel that this can be done administratively before the stockholders are fully identified and the officers of the village corporations are elected, since all available land in the central township must be selected without discretion by the terms of the Claims Act itself. This is one area that I hope the Commission will strongly consider and recommend, is that the village corporations start working immediately on the first township. One, it would cut down the time frame schedule in terms of compacting in the end, and 2, it would give training to the village corporations in selecting lands. 3, also, it would bring out a lot of problem areas that we're all going to encounter sometime in the future on selection of townships and sections. Another major understanding in planning by our land department is proceeding at this time. Since our regional corporation, which shares land titles to the subsurface with the village corporations, will probably be the nation's largest private landowner, we must maintain comprehensive, accurate, and efficient records relating to our land. A land record-keeping system, at least as comprehensive as that maintained by the State Division of Lands, is essential, since the identical acreage is involved. Since these lands must generate revenues for this and succeeding generations, we feel that land records must be readily understood by oil and gas companies and other members of the public with whom we are dealing. Furthermore, there needs to be careful cross-control between our land status and the fiscal accounting from the leases and sales of these resources. Accordingly, we are presently designing the requirements of such a land record-keeping system for possible adoption by mid-1973. The implementations of such a system and presentation of the record base itself will follow the decision-making process over the next year. Since the Tanana Chiefs own and operate the only commercial computer service company in Fairbanks, it is only natural that one of the several record-keeping systems under consideration is tied to the use of the computer. Other systems, such as photographic drafting, are also being studied. Turning now to some of the problems which we feel are outside the scope of any individual regional organization to solve, we would like to submit the following five problems which we feel are of great importance. These problems are, first, selection acreage chargeability relative to inland waters. Secondly, interim management and control of lands withdrawn by the Secretary for selection. Thirdly, subsistence use of lands which are outside those lands which will be selected by us. Fourth, the need for the data in the research library, and the need is existing at the present time. And fifth, recommendations by the Federal State Land Use Planning Commission on the native allotment rejections. Within the Tanana Chiefs region, we estimate that somewhere on the order of 1 million acres of land selection entitlement may be wasted and permanently lost from our inheritance if the problem of identifying inland navigable waters is not solved before selection commences. There is, of course, no dispute over the legal principle that title to beds of inland navigable waters belongs to the state of Alaska. Nor is there a dispute with the generally accepted principle that the courts have the final authority to determine navigability and title ownership to waters on a case-by-case basis. We therefore respectfully request that the Commission uses its powers and influence to get the three parties who are involved to agree upon a policy to determine the acreage chargeability of the lands and waters which are selected. Our lands embraced in the conventional system of rectangular survey, the BLM has for well over a century estimated areas entered and conveyed from public lands without intruding upon the jurisdiction of the courts to determine titles involving inland navigable waters. We think this same principle can be extended in the selection of our lands. We expect to submit to the Commission very shortly a detailed proposal and justification which we hope may conceivably provide the basis for arriving at a method of solving this problem. We believe this problem is too important to leave unsolved until the selections commence. We urge the Commission to help guide the parties involved in arriving at an equitable solution. The second problem for which we seek the assistance of the Land Use Planning Commission relates to the interim control of lands withdrawn for native selections. While the Claims Act authorizes the Secretary to administer certain types of rights on these lands pending their selection and interim conveyance to the native corporations, exceedingly serious problems have arisen concerning the control of access and related hunting and fishing upon these lands. Unfortunately, these problems are getting worse, not better. In your trip to Fort Yukon and Minto, which you will be taking this weekend, you will see examples of massive trespass upon land set aside for native selections, these trespasses being made by non-native people. We feel that the Land Use Planning Commission has the stature and the influence necessary to bring about a dialogue among all parties who hold the key to the solution of this problem. A solution must be obtained before future confrontations get out of hand. I might add that one of the bases of the claim settlement initially, when it first began approximately 10 years ago, was to protect the subsistence way of life of the native person. Apparently, with the finalized act of the Claims Act itself, with a number of individual state, federal agencies, native corporations, and individuals in urban areas wanting land, the entire concept of the Claims Act is being forgotten. No one is concerned in the federal or state government about the subsistence rights of people that still yet have to live off the land. The third problem relates to the subsistence use of areas outside of the selected lands. Congress, when it passed the Land Claims Act, did specify in the committee report, and I quote, "The Senate amendment to the House bill provided for the protection of the native people's interest in the use of subsistence resources on the public lands. The conference committee, after careful consideration, believes that all native interests in subsistence resource lands can and will be protected by the Secretary through the exercise of his existing withdrawal authority." We have been in existence now for almost a year, and I've had continuous games of writing letters between the federal government and the state, and to date absolutely nothing has been done. I stress this point because the problem is going to become worse. We have seen actions in the past which indicate this. I bring it to you for your perusal, for your advice, for your influence. The fourth problem I am bringing to you is that concerning the resource library which is supposed to be in existence. Our concern relates to the resource library which the BLM has the responsibility of developing. Although we recognize and appreciate the degree of development to date, this will not do the job at the present rate of progress. We need to begin using its future contents now. Our time frames are so tight that we fear it will be fully developed only after our needs for it has passed. Particularly acute is its shortage are data relating to biological resources. For example, at the present time, we're going out to our villages. We're meeting with the village selection committees and all of the adults in the villages. They have to make their village selections within the next 2 years. In order to make legitimate and wise decisions, they must know exactly what is on their lands around their villages. For example, we need the fish and game biological matter to determine the best fowl nesting areas, the areas that the game breeds and has their young each spring. We need to know the timber resources in the village selection areas and also in the regional selection areas. We need to know exactly where the best fishing areas are for future use in fish ponds. We need to know the areas that possibly agriculture may be useful in the future. The good ground. All of these things the village people need to know now if they're going to make wise decisions. Otherwise, government and the act itself discriminates against them by having to make decisions without any input at all. The villages need this now, the region also needs it now, and we're not having it available to us. The last problem that I wanted to bring before the Commission was the problem of rejections of Native allotments. Throughout the years, the various Native people as individuals have applied for Native allotments with the Bureau of Indian Affairs in their guardianship responsibility, acting as the person to assist them. However, the Bureau failed to indicate to the individuals that in certain areas the native allotment applicant had filed on already withdrawn or already patented lands. For example, there are certain rejections being placed where third parties already own the land and own the land at the time. We have rejections based upon the concept that the federal government has reserved and withdrawn lands, such as bombing ranges or Rampart Dam. All of the applicants that applied for native allotments on these lands are now being rejected. However, as of December 18th, they could not refile their native allotment anywhere else. Consequently, they're being rejected without any recourse as to filing for their 160 acres on another piece of land. This is extremely unfair, and it's the responsibility initially of the Bureau of Indian Affairs to have indicated to each individual all of these different things. However, they failed to do this. And consequently, again, they have discrimination based on this inability of the BIA at that time to assist them. There has to be a method by which to allow these people, through amendment or administrative procedures somehow, to allow them to reapply in another area. There has to be a method, and I haven't determined yet specifically how, but it's certainly something that all of us must look into. These gentlemen are the various problem areas that we're encountering within the Tanana Chiefs area right now. There are a few of the many, but they are areas that I feel that the land use planning can be of assistance to the regional corporations and also to the village corporations. Thank you.